Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCann. Thank you for joining. I want to thank our growing new listeners in Norway, Ireland, and Barbados. And I'm happy to announce the male listeners continue to tune in on the interview series. Just wait till you hear today's guests. And speaking of listeners, 71.4% of you are ladies and 28.6% men ages 17 through 44. Our guest today is Dr. and author Mark M. McNair. And take a moment and look at our show notes, and you'll have an idea of what you're in for today. I'm going to take a moment and pause as we wait for Brother Dr. Mark McNair to call in. Listeners, our guest, Dr. and author Mark M. McNair. Again, just take a look at his show notes. Mark poses questions such as, are you battling addiction? Does it feel like you are burdened and overwhelmed? Are you struggling with finding direction in your life? Have you tried to solve the problems in your life on your own and realized you need help from somebody? Well, have you? Let's find some answers and delve into Mark's new book, I Did, and found it very much worthwhile. Mark, welcome to Challenges of Faith.
Good morning.
Program.
Thank you so much, Gary. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, it's an honor having you on. First and foremost, how are you and your family?
I am doing well. My family is doing well. My wife and I are looking forward to the spring and summer, which is just right around the corner.
Yes, sir, it is. The changing seasons. Hey, Mark, what were your aspirations while growing up?
You know, I think that through grade school, I didn't really think about it much. And then there were times off and on, Gary, where I thought about being a therapist or helping people. I think because I grew up with so much chaos in my family, I wanted to help find help for myself and also find help for other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as time went on, as it stands now, you have done so and are doing so. I want to highlight, including show notes, who you are and how did you arrive at your new book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing. You know, listeners, it's a 183-page book, with number one on Amazon. Mark, you start off with a warning to the reader and potential reader. Why?
You know, I wanted to be really sensitive to the reader and make sure that they were aware that in reading some of the material, I talk about sexual abuse, I talk about physical abuse, emotional abuse, and also verbal abuse, that that I went through growing up, and I wanted to be sensitive and to warn the reader in case they might be triggered with some of these things.
You know, it's almost like, and as I was reading, it was almost like a stop sign, you know, a red light, you know, and you're being sensitive. And we thank you for that. You know, speaking of childhood aspirations and warnings, how did your childhood chaos affect your life, leading to you writing your new book?
That's a great question. I think, Gary, it caused me to have a tremendous amount of anxiety. I had a lot of symptoms that would be what would be familiar with ADHD. I couldn't focus well. I had a hard time sitting still, things like that. I think that overall, it just caused me to feel a tremendous amount of anxiety and a tremendous amount of depression.
You know, I alluded to when doing the intro, how that for Challenges of Faith radio program, men are the are growing listeners. And as you know, we men tend to keep things on the inside. And one of the things I appreciate what you're doing in your profession as well as in your book is letting it be known. It, you know, it's time to come from inside so that you are free. You know, Mark, when you say you wrote it for those struggling with trauma, addictions, or mental health issues, what specific struggles, addictions, and health issues are you speaking of?
Well, I think for myself, I talk about in the book having different addictions. Primarily, the one addiction that I went to rehab for was prescription medication abuse and addiction. And I ended up spending about 3 months in rehab for that. Also, just depression and anxiety that I suffered with probably most of my life. And I talk about in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book, just a lot of the trauma that I went through, a lot of the abuse that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you alluded to in your book, you do speak of pain, medications, and memories. You know, and that's important. Because, you know, there may be individuals, irrespective of where they happen to be, of the wrong thought that it just happens to this person, that person, irrespective of titles. But while in rehab, when you were aware you were on the pathway to healing, how did God show up to you while in rehab? And again, share without giving away your total book so that the listener and reader can purchase.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I guess I'd go back, Gary. You know, I talk about going on the ride to rehab. My wife drove and I sat in the car and I really felt like my life was over at that point. I felt like I had disappointed my wife. I felt like I had disappointed my daughter, Emily. I felt like I disappointed my friends, family, and God, especially God. I felt like I disappointed. But the ironic thing or the surprising thing was that I didn't see at that time how God was working step by step by step to bring healing into my life. And I can remember once being in my room, and I was thinking about the passage in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John, where the lame man is laying by the pool, and Jesus walks over to him and says, you know, do you want to be healed? And that was a thought that I carried through in rehab. I didn't know how God was going to do it. I really didn't have a lot of hope at that time. I had a little bit of hope that he was going to step in. But, you know, looking back now, I can see how he used all of those experiences, all of that pain, all of that trauma, all of that abuse to bring about healing in my life.
Wow. And as you know, professionally and from a spiritual standpoint, how that battle, a spiritual warfare, that battle is in the mind, you know, and just like you just indicated as relates to the scripture and as relates to your own life sojourn, especially now, you know, it's up to the individual whether in fact they want to receive help, including individuals who may come to you for that help. They have to make that decision. Mark, when you say addictions are not by happenstance, what do you mean?
I think what I was referring to there, Gary, is the whole idea for me is that, you know, I looked and I really studied my life, and what I came to the conclusion was that, you know, that the addiction really wasn't the problem. The addiction certainly caused a lot of problems, but the real problem for me was the pain that I was carrying from my childhood, the trauma, the complex trauma that I experienced growing up as a child. So, you know, a lot of times I think it's easy for us to look at the outside or look at the symptoms and say, oh, well, that person's struggling this or that person's struggling with that, but really go down deeper inside and look at the fact that there are deeper wounds, deeper pains that are causing some of this maladaptive behavior.
And what I like, when I say like, not, you know, well, let me explain what I mean. What I like while reading the book, and for me as a male and man, this program is for you. There's a fact, like Mark, like you just said, you know, it's about taking a look on the inside. You didn't say to any of us, take a look on the inside and destroy yourself. You said, take a look at your inside, you know, like God wants us to do, to examine ourselves so that we understand the causative factors. But one of the things I like what you are saying, you're not pointing the finger at this person. You're saying, hey, let me talk about me. And hopefully, as you're talking about you, there are those of us, irrespective of who we are, will take that which you're sharing, and if it's applicable to our lives, apply it. And an example would be, you know, for example, the question is posed, as you just so indicated, again, trying to find out the causative factors. But another question is, why do you say prescription drugs were the problem and not the addiction?
Well, I think that what I meant there was that the prescription drugs were really something that I used to help me, but it became a problem. But the real problem was the pain that I carried from my childhood. And until I was able to come to grips with that, process that pain, understand that pain, understand what I went through as a child, I don't think I would have let go so easily of the addictions, because there would have been too much pain. All the addictions do is they help you with the pain. Of course, in the long run, they cause more pain, but short run, they're trying to help you to cope with the pain.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here you are as an expert, and one of the things that is appreciative is the fact that you came to realize for you while looking in the mirror for your life and the causative effect that was happening to your beloved family that you needed assistance apart from yourself and in correlation with God, but you just didn't rely from a spiritual standpoint. You also down here on earth went to where you needed to go from a rehab standpoint to learn and to dissect for your life what the causative factors were. And as you just said, prescription drugs, they were a problem, but they were not the cause of the root cause of the problem. Mark, why do you believe it is harder to face the pain of trauma alone?
And as you read in the book in chapters 4, 5, and 6, I had a lot of trauma in my life. And mm-hmm. I think that I really couldn't face it alone. I needed people to help me, to walk with me. I think that, you know, scripture is filled with the one another's, you know, that God has created us to be in community. I love in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 4 and verse 2, you know, two are better than one, because if one falls, there's somebody there to pick them up. And I certainly experienced that in my journey. I've had so many people. I talk in the book about one of the counselors that meant so much to me, Harry Flanagan, who really walked me through the traumas that I had in my life. He didn't push me further than I should go. He let me go at my pace. And he helped me to actually find my words.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you know, a lot of times with men, it's that pride. And one of the things that we can appreciate, not only from your book standpoint, but also from the interview of what you're sharing, how that whatever obstacle may have been there, it was laid aside and you received from an individual that you've identified who was able to assist you. Do you believe a Christian, a follower of Christ, can get to the point of feeling, you know, we're talking about emotions again, where the battle takes place, that they have messed up so bad that the mercy and grace extended by our Savior is not there.
Definitely. I can talk about it in my own life that I felt that. I had felt that I had messed my life up so badly. I had messed my family up so badly. I had messed my career up so badly that there was no hope. I lost sight of the grace that Jesus provides for us. And I was talking with my pastor, Kirk Rupek, last night, and talking about just how common it is for believers at times to contemplate suicide, to think about ending their life and not realizing that there is hope in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Praise God. Well, let me ask you, while in rehab, did you learn the importance of going back in time, memory-wise, so that you could continue forward with your sojourn?
Yeah, I think I always knew that. I did that with people in my own profession, but I lost sight of it in my own life. And so, you know, there's a great verse in Genesis where Abraham and Sarah kick Hagar out into the wilderness. And she's out in the wilderness, and the angel of the Lord appears to her. And he says something to her that makes me think of the question that you just asked, and that was, where have you come from, and where are you going? And the idea in that verse is, in order to figure out where you're going, a lot of times you have to go back and look at where you've come from. And so that was priceless for me to be able to, and I'm continuing to do it daily, to see how my past affects my daily walk.
You know, what's interesting, again, is you are an expert, but at the same time, you are laying it bare. The vulnerability, you know, a lot of times, as you know, men aren't supposed to use that word, but you're laying it bare because you've opened up yourself and God is blessing you to share your story, because there are individuals that you're meeting, may meet, individuals who are listening, will listen, who what you're sharing speaks to them in their heart and also gives them the courage to step up for their own life, because as you alluded to earlier, you know, the effect that not only did it have on you, you weren't being selfish about that, but unselfishly, you also made mention how it affected your wife and child and loved ones. So how does guilt and shame affect your sojourn to freedom from addictions and all forms of bondage?
That's a great question, Gary. I think that, you know, I would focus in on, and I would say that shame is feeling that there's something wrong with you. Guilt, on the other hand, is doing something wrong and feeling badly about it. And I think people who have had rough childhoods, rough upbringings, carry so much shame with them. You know, they feel like there's something wrong with them. As I have done a lot of research since I've gotten out of rehab and really studied this idea of addiction, one of the things that I have learned from the literature is it seems like shame brings people back to addiction. You know, when people are feeling terrible about themselves, they do terrible things, and they do terrible things to themselves.
All right, so now we have God who showed up while you were in rehab, and as you know, was always with you and is today. So now he brought you to the point where you're able to open up like you're doing from the inside, write about it. What next?
Well, you know, I am still speaking a lot with the book, and I am also seeing a lot of clients in counseling. I'm enjoying that tremendously. I really feel like that is my ministry. The other thing that I've started doing is I've started writing articles, you know, things about my story, areas of addiction and areas of abuse and areas of trauma and also recovery. So that's something that I'm enjoying tremendously.
Brother Mark, how did your trauma affect your relationship with God, family, and others?
Wow, that is a great question. I think that, you know, I felt like God tolerated me. I don't think I embraced the fact that he loved me with an everlasting love, as Jeremiah talks about. I think that, you know, in the last 8 years, I have really grown to have a much closer relationship with God and to realize that, no, he doesn't just tolerate me. He loves me. and that he enjoys me and he enjoys spending time with me. And so I think that my life has changed so much in my relationship with God, with my family. You know, I was very dysregulated emotionally. I was cranky. I was emotionally abusive, which I talk about in the beginning of the book. And God has really transformed that. I have a great relationship. My daughter and son-in-law are in Wyoming, and I get to see them. I talk to them all the time, and I have a great relationship with them. And my relationship with Debbie, which my wife, which I talk about in the book pretty extensively, Debbie is so filled with grace, and I don't think she ever was critical of all of the mistakes that I made. She has been just an encourager to me, and that has been so comforting to me from the background that I came from. So I think that my relationship has changed, turned around with Debbie 100%, and also with others. I have a lot of good friends that I spend a lot of time with, and that is really, really important for me, not to be isolated, but to spend time with others.
Wow. So here you're talking about relationship. You're talking about the genuine relationship with yourself and God, our Creator. And you're talking about it as relates with your beloved wife, your partner, and your daughter and son-in-law and others. You brought in the accountability part, you know, but at the same time, you're making it clear how all of us should remember, especially as believers of the household of faith, being imperfect inside an imperfect world, not trying to utilize an excuse, but understanding that no matter how we try, we can go 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds without thinking wrong, saying wrong, and doing wrong. But we're going to fall down without giving an excuse because only Jesus Christ is perfect. But what you're saying and have said, and in your book is making it clear, is the fact that if you really want to understand where you came from, apart from anything and everything else, go back in time because that's going to give you an idea, a picture of how you arrived. And depending on where you happen to be, you may need to go back in order to come to where you need to be so you can move forward. Otherwise, you're going to be in some form of bondage. And speaking of relationships, and I heard you allude to when you went back and you had a chance to look at words, can the usage of words affect a relationship? And if so, how?
That's such a great question, Gary. I think it definitely does, and I think Scripture is clear with it. Proverbs 18:21 says that words have the power of life and death, and I think that it has to do with the words that we say to ourselves and also the words that we say to others. My counselor is always saying to me, you know, talk to yourself like somebody that you love. You know, how would you talk to somebody else that you really love? Do you talk to yourself that way, or are you critical with yourself? Do you call yourself names? Do you put yourself down?
That is so, so true, because, as you know, if somebody is calling you negative names, derogatory and taken away, you may end up walking away believing that's who you really are. Mark, how do you know when God is pursuing you or you him?
When I went to rehab, there is no doubt that I was so far away from the Lord. He wasn't far away from me, but in my mind, I was far away from him. I had given up on life. I had felt so broken and felt like he didn't want anything to do with me. But just the pursuing of God that I talk about in the book, just that idea that, you know, I look at, you know, what happened. My dad passed away in July of 2014, and by March of 2015, I was on my way to rehab, and I just see the hand of God all the way through rehab. It's a funny thing that I didn't see it as much. I saw it off and on in rehab, but I didn't see it as much as looking back. I think that's one of the advantages of being able to look back and to see how God has worked in your life. I look back over the last 8 years and I just see him pursuing me and reaching out to me. And each step of the way, he's provided healing through other people, through church, through friends. You know, it's not an easy journey, but it's such a worthwhile journey because looking back at it now, I see his fingerprints all over my life.
Mm-hmm. Why is it important to learn to accept self and one's own brokenness?
Well, I think it's a reality. I think if you don't accept it, you're in denial. You know, Paul makes the point in Corinthians that when we are weak, then we are strong. And I think that we live as broken individuals, very flawed individuals. And to be able to accept those parts of ourselves that a lot of times we don't even want to look at. But one of the ways that I have been able to work with it lately is to kind of invite God into those places in my life and have him spend time with me in those areas. And for me to learn and accept the fact that I am a broken, flawed, weak human being, that by the grace of God, I walk with a limp every day.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you so share it as it relates to your wife, that though she knows you, she wasn't critical of you, taken away from you. And especially during your times while you're trying to learn to accept yourself, and when you saw your own brokenness as you needed to. And you also extended that to your daughter and the accountability friends that God has placed in and around your life. Dr. Mark M. McNair, how and where can listeners purchase your new book and ebook?
They can go onto Amazon and they can find it there under Mark McNair. Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing Gently After Trauma.
Listeners, Mark has appeared on many podcasts, YouTube, and interviews. Check him out apart from here on Challenges of Faith radio program, especially as you are purchasing his book and taking a self-examination around your own life, as you should. Mark, what are some of the services you offer, and how can interested listeners reach out?
I do a lot of individual and couples work. I do marriage work and family work. So if people want to get in touch with me, they can go on Google and just type in www.markmcnair.com. Again, it's www.markmcnair.com.
All right. And listeners, also check out our show notes for additional information on Brother Mark. Mark, any final words for the listeners?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on and just want to encourage the listeners. You know, 8 years ago, I would have never dreamt that I would be talking about these things, but I have been able to do it by the grace of God. And I would just encourage your listeners to take a step of faith and be able to, you know, even ask the Lord, you know, to find somebody for them to talk to about things that they think are just too shameful or too terrible to talk about. That's where the healing comes in, learning your story and being able to connect with others.
Brother Mark, thank you for taking the time out and coming on Challenges of Faith radio program and sharing your powerful sojourn and new book, Finding My Words, A Ruthless Commitment to Healing. And listeners, again, 183 pages, which is very much worth reading. Now, if I took the time and read and applied that which needed to be applicable, I know you can, men. You too, ladies, but I'm talking to the men. You're talking about a book, number one on Amazon. Brother Mark, return anytime you so desire.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's been a pleasure being with you.
It's an honor, sir. Listeners, I do hope you take the time to purchase, read, and apply, if applicable, Mark McNair's story, From All Forms of Trauma to Victory and Healing Through the Love and Mercy of Jesus Christ. You know, using counselors, loved ones, friends, employees, and surrendering to accomplish the goal of our Heavenly Father. You know, one reader wrote, "Now Mark wakes up in the morning with joy in his heart. Instead of fear and trepidation, he's excited about life and what each day holds. And he wants you to experience the same kind of hope in your life. Mark wants you to know that God loves you and accepts you just as you are, right there in the messiness of your life. God is pursuing you, and you won't regret opening the door of your life to him or to other people who are available and able to help you in your recovery from trauma. Again, you heard from Dr. Mark McNair. He shared it. He laid it all out for you, to you, to surrender unto the Lord and that which you know you need down here on earth so that you can move forward from your past. I'm Gary McCann, so Challenge the Faith Radio Program. Thank you for tuning in.